Each year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the feast of Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to the festival custom. After they had completed its days as they were returning, the boy Jesus remained behind in Jerusalem, but his parents did not know it. Thinking he was in the caravan, they journeyed for a day and looked for him among their relatives and acquaintances. But not finding him, they returned to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astounded at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished, and his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been looking for you with great anxiety." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Do you not know that I must be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he said to them. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. And his mother kept all these things in her heart. And Jesus advanced in wisdom and age and favor before God and man. The Gospel of the Lord. The membership of a once large order of monks had decreased over the years until there were only 5 brothers left of what had been a thriving community. For years, people from the surrounding areas had been drawn to the monastery in search of learning and spiritual renewal that they found there. Now, no one ever visited, as the spirit of the place and its inhabitants seemed to be slowly dying. One day, however, a rabbi happened by to visit. When he was about to leave, one of the brothers asked the rabbi if he had any advice how they could revitalize themselves and make their monastery a spiritual center once again. After a few moments, the rabbi said, "The only thing I can tell you is that the Messiah is one of you." Flabbergasted, the brothers replied, "The Messiah among us? Impossible." As the weeks passed, the brothers puzzled over the rabbi's startling statement. If the Messiah was here, which one of us would it be? Maybe Brother Timothy. He's the abbot, and in his capacity as leader, he could surely be chosen to be the Messiah. It couldn't be Brother Mark. He's always so aggressive and argumentative, but he's usually right. Or maybe it's Brother Pius, who tends a garden in the animals. He could probably nourish a troubled world if he were the Messiah. Surely it could be Brother Dominic. He's studious, learned, and familiar with all the great spiritual writers. But it couldn't be Peter, could it? Certainly the Messiah couldn't be the one who cleans toilets, dirty laundry, and scrubs the pots and pans each day. Or could it? The monks were unable to determine which one of them was the Messiah. Today we celebrate the Feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. We know very little of Jesus' life between his birth and his public ministry. It's thought that he entered into his adopted father Joseph's profession as a carpenter and would have spent the bulk of his life in Nazareth. The only event chronicled in the Gospels about his growing up is this one, the finding of Jesus in the temple at age 12. Now today's Gospel identifies God was the father of Jesus, but there is the matter of Jesus' earthly father, his stepfather Joseph. Jesus is the son of God, but also the son of Mary and Joseph. Jesus had to learn the scriptures and prayers from someone. In the Jewish home in Jesus' time, until a child was about 12 years old, the mother taught the children many things, including the teaching of their faith and the Psalms. When a boy reached the age of puberty, however, he left his place with his mother and began to learn things from his father. In our time, family life can be very loving, but it can also contain many difficulties. We must cope with school, work, sickness and health issues, addictions, distractions, the busyness of our society. We tend to think the Holy Family was perfect because Mary was without sin and Jesus was the Son of God. But their family life was anything but smooth sailing. Mary was pregnant, but not of Joseph. Jesus was born in poverty. When Mary was to give birth to Jesus, the only place they could find was a manger. Simeon warned Mary that the child would be set for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and that a sword would pierce her soul. Herod searched for Jesus to kill him, and Mary and Joseph had to instantly leave for Egypt. Then they had to return to Israel and settled in Nazareth. Then when he was 12 years old, they lost Jesus when the family went to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. Their family lives, like ours, were full of difficulties. Let's look at today's gospel. It describes the fifth joyful mystery, the finding of Jesus in the temple. Only St. Luke's gospel contains this story. Jewish boys were made sons of the law by presenting themselves in the temple of Jerusalem when they became about 12 years old. It was 60 miles from Nazareth to Jerusalem as a crow flies, but although the winding road through the hills in Christ's time made it 87 miles. On pilgrimages to Jerusalem, entire villages joined, breaking up into two groups, one of men, the other woman. Children could go with either group. This explains how they could go a day's journey before they discovered, to Mary and Joseph's shock, that Jesus was missing when the families regrouped at camp. Upon finding him in the outer courts of the temple, Mary asked Jesus, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been looking for you anxiously." In these words, Mary asked Jesus why he caused his mother and father so much anxiety by remaining in the temple without informing them when all the other children had gone back to Nazareth. Jesus didn't understand this. His bewildered response was one of shocked surprise. Instead of apologizing for worrying them, he asked, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" Or another translation is, "Be about my father's business?" Mary referred to Joseph as Jesus' father, but when Jesus answered, he used the word pater, Latin for father, to refer to God, the Creator. But he realized at this stage in his life, doing the will of his heavenly Father entailed obedience to Mary and Joseph, and Jesus willingly complied. He went down with them and came to Nazareth and was obedient to them. Mary and Joseph's faith and their reverence and love towards the boy Jesus led them not to ask any further questions, but to reflect on Jesus' words and behavior in this instance as they had done on other occasions. Without fully understanding Jesus or the events that were unfolding in her family, Mary was willing to believe and trust in the wisdom of God. Jesus lived like many of the other kids in Nazareth, working as his father, in Jesus' case, as a carpenter. And he earned his living by the sweat of his brow. This reference to Jesus working as Joseph, St. Joseph did, is the last reference to St. Joseph in the Gospels. And it's a beautiful tribute to him. Obedient to his guidance, Jesus grew to perfect manhood. Jesus grew in all ways, physically, intellectually, emotionally, and spiritually, for the work that lay ahead of him. Let's return to the story of the dying monastery. The monks were unable to determine which one of them was the Messiah. They began to treat one another as though each were the one. Moreover, just in case he himself might be the Messiah, each monk began to treat himself with new respect and conduct himself with greater dignity. Within a few weeks, the monastery's occasional visitors were awed by the love, goodness, and revitalized spirituality that they witnessed. They returned again and again and brought new friends along. Soon, a few young men asked to be admitted to the order, and the monastery thrived again. Imagine the possibilities for growth and renewal if each family were to take to heart the rabbi's words, "The Messiah is one of you." We are told to see Christ, the Messiah, in each other. If we were to truly do this, imagine how much more might spouses love and cherish one another. How much more might children honor and appreciate their parents. If each member of every family were to reverence one another as the Messiah, as Jesus, who is our Savior brother, how much might that strengthen and secure those family bonds that are the infrastructure without which our society has no future. What did the Holy Family do? They listened to the messages they received from the angel of God. They gave their lives to Christ. They put Jesus first. They focused on their child, Jesus the Messiah. What do we do in our families? What do we need to do to have a holy family? We need to focus on God and Jesus. How do we do that? We do that by making our families and extended families a closely knit group. Our families must be a showcase of fidelity, self-sacrificing love, security, and a place where life's basic lessons are taught. We must see Christ, the Messiah, in each other. A holy family practices their faith, prays together, and keeps God's commandments as Jesus taught us by loving God and our neighbor. A holy family is the domestic church, where God is honored and worshiped in a place of fun, where wholesome recreation and simple pleasures are enjoyed. If we do this, then, we have done all that God asks us to do.